cut of that holy place. Upasparshanat. By bathing regularly in the water. Eva. Indeed. Vinututa. Completely purified. Mala ashayaha. Of all the dirt within the heart. Japantaha. Chanting or murmuring. Brahma. Mantras beginning with Om. Such as Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Param Sira Pashanti Surya.
Such as Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Param Sira Pashanti Surya.
Paramam, the ultimate goal. Tepuhu, performed. Tatra, there. Mahat, great. Tapaha, penances. So translation. At Narayana Saras, the second group of sons perform penances in the same way as the first. They bathe in the holy water, and by its touch, all the dirty material desires in their hearts were cleansed away. They murmured mantras beginning with Omkara, and underwent a severe course of austerities. So you repeat, at Narayana Saras, the second group of sons perform penances in the same way as the first.
They bathe in the holy water.
And by its touch,
all the dirty material desires in the hearts
were cleansed away.
They murmured mantras
beginning with Omkara.
And underwent a severe course of austerities.
So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Every Vedic mantra is called Brahma because each mantra is preceded by the Brahmakshara, Om or Omkara. For example, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita in the 7th chapter, text 8, Pranava Sarva Vedeshu. In all the Vedic mantras, I am represented by Pranava or Omkara. The chanting of the Vedic mantras beginning with Omkara is directly chanting Krishna's name. There is no difference whether one chants Omkara or addresses the Lord as Krishna. The meaning is the same, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended that in this age, one chant the Hare Krishna mantra, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam. Although there is no difference between Hare Krishna and the Vedic mantras beginning with Omkara, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the leader of the spiritual movement for this age, has recommended that one chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Tadu pasparshanareva vinirduta malashaya japanto brahma paramam tepus tatra mahat tapaha. So, omaganata mirandasya gananjana shilakaya chakshur meditam yena tasmai shigurave namaha. So, this mantra Om, which is actually composed of three different letters, A-U-M, Om, is a very interesting mantra. And I'm going to make some reference and read a little bit from what Srila Prabhupada says in the Adi Lila, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, regarding Om, and what it is and how it is actually directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's called the Mahavakya. Now, the context of this particular description in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is the conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prakashananda Sarasvati. So in Varanasi is actually filled with Mayavadis. Mayavadis, in other words, people just say everything in this material world is Maya, we're all one. I mean, there's different types of Mayavadis, but the word Mayavadi means the Supreme Personality of God, its form, personality, and everything is actually illusion. That's what it's in reference to. And so Varanasi is filled with Mayavadis. Mayavadi. It's all one. It's all white. There's no variety. Anyway, so... And it's interesting. It's actually interesting. Going back to the discussion we had last night about the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there was this Brahmin, Mathura Brahmin, who actually went to Varanasi, and he was very attracted to the Mayavad philosophy and almost gave up chanting his mantra, the Gopal mantra, and he wanted to take sannyas, thinking this way he'd become liberated, but Lord Shiva appeared to him and said, no, don't take sannyas, because Varanasi is actually Lord Shiva's abode, one of Lord Shiva's abodes. There's many, like Bhubaneswar and other places like this. Anyway, so Lord Chaitanya was discussing with the Mayavadis, headed up by Prakashananda. What the discussion was is, what is the Mahavakya, the great Mahavakya, the great word, basically, Vakya, like Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, Chitete Koryakya, you know, the words coming from the mouth of the spiritual master. Or Maha means great. What is the great saying in the Vedic literatures? And the Mayavadis, generally, they have this saying, Tatvam Asi. And it's interesting what Prabhupada says, and we're going to read a little bit about what Prabhupada says about Tatvam Asi and some of the other things that they chant. You know, I am that I am, or Yato Mat Tato Pat. I was in Los Angeles when Prabhupada was giving the class, and he was referring to this verse, or the same, Yatama Tatopat, I'm okay, you're okay. And he related this to this book that was published at that particular time in the West. The name was I'm Okay, You're Okay. Somehow or other, what was the book? A Transactional Analysis or something like that. And I don't remember because I never read the book. But Prabhupada said, you know, there's this book, I'm Okay, You're Okay. And Prabhupada was making reference to Yatama Tatapad, which is actually coming from Vivekananda. You know, I'm okay, you're okay, everything is all right. And it's almost like the hippie. It is a hippie thing. Actually, Prabhupada said the hippies got their philosophy from India as well as their marijuana from India. Both things. And so Prabhupada was saying, they say, I'm okay, you're okay. We say, I'm okay, you're not okay. That was Prabhupada's retort. In other words, I'm all right, you're not all right, because I'm Krishna conscious. So, the Mayavadis have all these different, what they consider to be Mahavakyas, which are not actually Mahavakyas. Whereas the Pranava Sarvaveda issue is the actual, the Pranava, the Omkar, is the actual Mahavakya, or the great saying in the Vedic literatures. And as Prabhupada says in the purport, all the mantras are preceded by Om. And the reason for that is sort of a trick of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's tricking everybody, even if they're engaged in karma kanja practices, to somehow or other chant God's names. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was young, he would trick people by crying until they chanted Hare Krishna. And he tricked people by the eclipse that occurred at the time of his appearance, the chant. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya was somehow or other tricking people to chant. He tricked the Buddhists to chant when the Buddhists tried to defame him, and the Buddhist leader was knocked unconscious, and the Buddhist followers said, what should we do? And Lord Chaitanya said, chant Hare Krishna. So somehow or other there was this trick always to chant. And some of the devotees in the movement have actually taken this particular process in trying to trick people to chant. There's one lady who tries to get people to chant Gauranga. And she goes around, and I mentioned this before, but it's quite interesting or funny, that in Scotland, for many years, they would paste these big Gauranga signs everywhere. They would add signs, I mean, like the size of, you know, let's say 100 feet long on a bridge. The devotees would go out at night and hang upside down from the bridge, and then use like flour paste. You know, flour paste, you mix flour and water. And take a brush and then put this big sign, Gauranga, on the bridge, so when everybody woke up the next morning, they were seeing, and driving their cars to work, they were seeing Gauranga, and they were chanting Gauranga. And eventually people started to think that Gauranga was the name of a bridge company. Bridge building company. It's very interesting. And, you know, one night, the police caught the devotees as they were hanging off the bridge and got ready to arrest them. And then they got a call from another police car saying, we got someone who's jumping off a bridge somewhere else. So please forget about these other people who are pasting Gauranga on the bridge and go rush and save this person. But actually the person who was jumping off the bridge wasn't actually jumping off the bridge. It was another devotee who was pasting Gauranga on another bridge. Interesting, isn't it? How enthusiastic their devotees are to get people to chant. Because it says Gauranga Balite Habi Pulaka Sharia. You know, one chants the holy name of Gauranga. Eventually you come to the platform of ecstasy. You know, the hair standing, Pulaka Sharia. So, and in Mayapur, of course, you have sometimes when there's some ecstasy, everybody chants Gauranga so loud it breaks your eardrums. So, anyway, so that's also a name of God, Gauranga. There's, of course, there's, primary and secondary names of God. Primary names are names that refer to God in terms of his spiritual activities in this world, not in this world, in the spiritual world. And secondary names refer to Krishna in terms of his maintenance or creation. There's different functions. It's not as they're not as personal as the primary names. But Omkar, interestingly enough, is a primary name. Although many times you find devotees thinking it's just something for Mayavadis. Of course, we don't generally go and chant Omkara all the time. I mean, I remember in the early days of the movement, you generally, if you had a temple or a preaching center, you'd always find some hippie in the back of the temple chanting Om. You probably remember this. He'd be having his hands like this, you know, the different mudras. And chanting Om while we were all dancing and chanting and having Bhagavatam class. It was a common thing, wasn't it? It was very, very common because people were into chanting Om. So the devotees developed a habit of decrying the chanting of Om, thinking it's impersonal. But it's not actually impersonal. According to, in the Bhakti Sandarbha, it mentions that A-U-M, and that A is Krishna, U, in this particular context, is Lakshmi, and M is the living entity. And of course, Prabhupada describes elsewhere, which we'll be reading, that A refers to Krishna, U is Radharani, and M is the living entity. And the Acharyas give different explanations of Om too. They say Om is also the word Mathura. It's interesting. Mathura, because all the syllables are there in a different order in the name Mathura. Isn't it? Mathura. You know, you got A, U, and M. Mathura. Right? In different order. So anyway, there's different explanations the Acharyas give. And of course, the verse that Prabhupada quotes here is actually from the Rig Veda. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Pada Pasanti Pashanti Yat Suryaha. That all the demigods are looking to Krishna. One thing is that really Prabhupada didn't establish is we don't chant Om in front of Hare Krishna. And devotees now started to do that during fire sacrifice. It's not really bona fide. You know, because you don't need to do that. Because Hare Krishna is Krishna, Radharani, and the service, the living entity serving, praying to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead under the jurisdiction of Srimati Radharani. So I've heard several times recently when devotees chant Hare Krishna during a fire sacrifice, they go, Om, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Also, Om, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. You don't do that. That's not actually bona fide to do that. If you have a mantra that doesn't have the holy names of the Lord, then certainly you add Om to it. And also in our pranam mantra, we use the word Om, isn't it? Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Chinamani. Om is the seed vibration of all the Vedic mantras, and the A in Om is, Prabhupada describes this, he said it's the beginning letter in all alphabets, which is interesting. All, at least alphabets that are based on sound. I mean, it's not like the Japanese alphabet or the Chinese alphabet that are pictorial. in that way. So, in that light, I'd like to read some interesting statements that Prabhupada makes in the commentary to the Adi Lila chapter 7 text 128, which deals with Om. This whole purport, which is quite a lengthy purport, deals with Om, and it's going to repeat some of the things I already said. And I already explained the context of that purport, which is Lord Chaitanya's discussion with Prakrasananda. So, the verses, Pranavase Mahavakya Vedera Nidana Ishvara Swarupa Pranavasarva Vishwa Dhamma, which is very interesting because it means the word-by-word synonyms mean that the Ishvara Swarup, Prabhupada translates direct representation of the Supreme Personality Godhead, but Swarup actually means form. You understand the form, like you say, someone's Swarupa, his own form. Like you have a material rupa now, which is, you know, the material body, Sridaduke, biomucus, and air. But your Swarupa, that's your own form, eternal, Jivera Swarupa Hoinacha Krishna Das, that's your eternal spiritual body. So Ishvara Swarupa means basically the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or as Prabhupada translates here, the direct representation of the Supreme Person. In other words, Krishna's Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukto Vinatvama Namino. Krishna is non-different. His transcendental body, of course, Krishna's not different from his body, he's not different from his mind. We have this duality that we're different from our body, we're different from our mind, and we're different from, certainly from all of our relatives. Just like I got a letter from someone yesterday, and they were very attached. I'm going to save all my relatives and everything like that. They're not interested in Krishna consciousness. What should I do about it? I said, really, you should just see all your relatives equal with everybody else, because Krishna's a seed-giving father, and actually everyone's your relative, not just people who are related to the body. Anyway, so Swarupa. Ishvara Swarupa, the direct manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then Pranava Vishwa, Sarva Vishwa, Sarva Vishwa means all universes. It's the reservoir of all universes. In other words, it's everything. It's everything. Spiritual world, material world, Krishna, everything, because, you know, Krishna is everything. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. Iti matva bhajantivam. I am the source of everything. Everything comes from me. From me the entire creation flows. So the Omkara, everything comes from the Omkara. It's interesting, isn't it? So it's not Maya to chant Omkara. Prabhupada's translation is interesting too. The Vedic sound vibration Omkara, the principal word in the Vedic literatures, is the basis of all Vedic vibrations. Therefore, one should accept Omkara as the sound representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the reservoir of the cosmic manifestation. Then Prabhupada goes on to quote some verses from the Bhagavad Gita, which deal with Omkara. And the first verse Prabhupada quotes is in the 8th chapter, text 13. Om itya yakaksharam brahma vyaharan namanusmaran Yat prayati chishante ham sayati paramam gatam. And Prabhupada says this, going over. Therefore, at the time of death, if one simply remembers Omkara, he remembers the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore is immediately transferred to the spiritual world. So such is the potency of Omkara. I'm skipping over some of the things we already stated. He said, Mayavadi philosophers cannot understand these simple facts explained in the Bhagavad Gita, and they are proud of being Vedantis. And Prabhupada also gives a very interesting discussion about what the word Vedanti means. Vedanti means without teeth. You know, it means, of course, it can also mean someone who understands the Vedic literatures, a presenter of the Vedic literatures. But Prabhupada said it's without teeth, and he says the reason they're without teeth, of course the acharyas have spoken like this too, is because their teeth have been broken by the devotees who are preaching Krishna. By the strong arguments of the Vaishnava philosophers. It's interesting. If Vedanta, we can, of course you don't want to insult them like that. If someone says, I'm a Vedantist, you say, oh, you don't have any teeth. Because your teeth have been broken by the real preachers of the Vedas, Sri Padmanabhacharya, Madhvacharya. I feel sorry for you. Can I get you some false teeth? You know, you don't want to say that to them. So, and then there's another verse that Prabhupada quotes, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, verse 13, which is that's the same one, actually. But here's another translation of that. After being situated in this yoga practice and vibrating the syllable Om, the supreme combination of letters, if one thinks of the Supreme Personality of God, same thing. If one actually understands that Omkar is the sound representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whether he chants Omkar or the Hare Krishna mantra, this result is certainly the same. The transcendental vibration of Omkara is further explained in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 17. Here's another verse. Pitahamasya jagatoma ta data pitamaha vedyam pavitram omkara pavitram omkara riksamaryajure vacha. I'm the father of the universe, the mother, the support, the grandsire. I am the object of knowledge, the purifier, and the syllable Om. I am the Rig, Sama, and Yajurvedas. Then in Prabhupada quotes from the Bhagavad Gita chapter 17, verse 23. Om Tat Sat Iti Nirdesho Brahmanas Tri Vedas Mutaha Brahmanas Tena Vedas Cha Yagyas Cha Vihita Pura. From the beginning of creation, the three syllables Om Tat Sat have been used to indicate the supreme absolute truth, Brahman. They were uttered by Brahmanas while chanting Vedic hymns and during sacrifices for the satisfaction of the supreme. And Prabhupada quotes from Jiva Goswami in the Bhakti Sandarbha, where the Omkar is considered to be the sound vibration of the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It says, only this vibration of transcendental sound can deliver a conditioned soul from the clutches of Maya. Sometimes Omkar is also called the deliverer, Tara. And as we've mentioned before, Tara also means to cross over. Like Avatara means to cross down, right? And so Tara, that means something that can enable you to cross over the material universe and enter into the spiritual realm. Srimad Bhagavatam begins with Omkara, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Therefore, Omkara has been described by the great commentator, Sridhar Swami, as Tarankura, the seed of deliverance from the material world. It's interesting, all these descriptions of Omkara. Since the Supreme Godhead is absolute, his holy name and sound vibration, Omkara, are as good as he himself. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that the holy name of Omkara, the transcendental representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Namna, has all the potencies of the Personality of Godhead. And of course, then Prabhupada quotes from the Shikshashtika, Namna Makari Bahudha Nija Sarvashashtish, Tatravita Nimatas Maranena Kala. You have invested all your transcendental potencies, as Prabhupada translates elsewhere, in all your holy names. Let's skip some of this. In the Narada Pancharatra, it is clearly said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, personally appears before the chanter who engages in chanting the Ashtakara, or the eight-syllable mantra, Om Namo Narayana. A similar statement in the Mandukya Upanishad declares that whatever one sees in the spiritual world is all an expansion of the spiritual potency of Omkara. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? Whatever one sees in the spiritual world is all an expansion of the spiritual potency of Omkara. Wow. So it's definitely, in other words, there's nothing impersonal about chanting Om. And, of course, the reason we don't go around just chanting Om is because we have been instructed by Srila Prabhupada, and who is following footsteps of the previous acharyas, and especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that the Hare Krishna mantra is our chant for deliverance. But there's nothing wrong with chanting Om. Of course, one has to follow the order of the spiritual master. And then here's another statement. On the basis of all the Upanishads, Srila Jiva Goswami states that Omkar is the supreme absolute truth and is accepted as such by all acharyas and authorities. Omkar is beginningless, changeless, supreme, and free from deterioration and external contamination. Omkar is the origin, middle, and end of everything, and any living entity who thus understands Omkara attains the perfection of spiritual identity in Omkara. Omkara, being situated in everyone's heart, is Ishvara, the supreme personality of Godhead, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, text 61, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam, Hridayeshe Arjuna Tishtati. That means Krishna is situated in everyone's heart and is directing the wanderings of the living entities who are seated on the machine made of the material energy. That's the direct translation of that verse. Ishvara Sarvabhutanam, Hridayeshe Arjuna Tishtati, Pramayan Sarvabhutani Yantra Rudani. Omkara is as good as Vishnu because Omkara is as all-pervasive as Vishnu. One who knows Omkara no longer remains a Shudra, but immediately comes to the position of a Brahmana. Simply by chanting Omkara, one can understand the whole creation to be one unit or an expansion of the energy of the Supreme Lord. Idam hi Vishvam Bhagavan. Ivetura Ito Jagatstana Niroda Sambhavaha. So I'm going to skip a little bit here. One should not, however, foolishly conclude that because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is omnipotent, we have manufactured a combination of letters AUM to represent him. Factually, the transcendental sound Omkara, although a combination of the three letters AU and M, has transcendental potency, and one who chants Omkara will very soon realize Omkara and Lord Vishnu to be non-different. Krishna declares, Panavasara Vedeshu, that's the Bhagavad Gita again, from the 7th chapter, text 8, that he's the syllable Om in the Vedic literatures. One should therefore conclude that among the many incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Omkara is the sound incarnation. All the Vedas accept this thesis. Without Omkar, no Vedic mantra is successful. The Goswamis therefore declare that Pranava, Omkar, is the complete representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they've analyzed Omkar in terms of its alphabetical constituents as follows. A kareno chate Krishna sarva lokaika nayakaha. U kareno chate Radha. Ma karo jiva vachakaha. And this is an interesting explanation. Omkar is the combination of the letters A, U, and M. A, kare no chate, Krishna, the letter akara, refers to Krishna, who is sarva lokaika nayakaha, the master of all living entities and planets, material and spiritual. Nayaka means leader. He is the supreme leader. Nicho, nichanam, chaitanas, chaitanam. The letter U, 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 kara, indicates Srimati Radharani, the pleasure potency of Krishna, and M, ma, kara, indicates the living entities. Thus, Om is the complete representation of Krishna, his potency, and his eternal servitors. In other words, Omkara represents Krishna, his name, fame, pastimes, entourage, expansions, devotees, potencies, and everything else pertaining to him. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu states in the present verse of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sarva Vishva Dhamma Omkara is the resting place of everything, just as Krishna is the resting place of everything. Brahmano hi pratishtaham. And here's this statement by Prabhupada describing what I said before. The Mayavad philosophers consider many Vedic mantras to be the Mahavakya or principal Vedic mantra, such as Tattvamasi, you are that it, you are that thing, which is from the Chandogya Upanishads, Idam Sarvam, Yadayam Atma, and Brahmedam Sarvam, that's from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Atmai Vedam Sarvam, Chandogya Upanishad, and Neha Nashti, Nanashti, sorry, Kinshana, Katha Upanishad. That is a great mistake. Only Omkara is the Mahavakya. All these other mantras that the Mayavadis accept as the Mahavakya are only incidental. They cannot be taken as the Mahavakya or Mahamantra. The mantra Tattvamasi indicates only a partial understanding of the Vedas, unlike Omkar, which represents the full understanding of the Vedas. Therefore, the transcendental sound that includes all Vedic knowledge is Omkara Pranava. So these are some of the statements about the Om, which Srila Prabhupada talks about in his purport. So whether we're chanting Om or Hare Krishna, there are different spiritual rules for the chanting process. There's no material rules. Nam namakari bahada nijasarvata shakti tachapita nimata smanare nikala itadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamapi dudaiva nijasham iha jani nanaraga. The statement by Lord Chaitanya is there's no hard and fast rules for chanting, but the hard and fast rules that Lord Chaitanya is referring to are the Vedic rules, the time, place, and circumstance rules. But there are spiritual rules for chanting, and those are given by the acharyas in terms of avoiding the 10 offenses and also having the right mood. As Prabhupada said, when one chants the holy name, one should be crying out for Krishna like a child cries out for his mother. So anyway, so here the second group, the Savalashvas, were chanting Om and different Vedic mantras, and in this way they were reaching perfection and they became qualified to hear the instructions given by Narada Muni. Because without being qualified, without being purified, and one of the methods, of course, they utilize to become purified here is the bathing in the sacred river. Although that method is not as effective as other methods. Of course, chanting is more effective than bathing sacred rivers, and also associating with great devotees is more effective than bathing sacred rivers. As Bhagavatam says, Swardunyupo Nushevaya, that only by repeated bathing can you get the same effect as sadhu sangha, or associating with great devotees, and great devotees even purify the holy places and purify the holy rivers, like the Ganges and other rivers. Anyway, so before they were able to take Narada Muni's instructions seriously, they had to undergo the process of purification. Then, when they were properly purified, Narada Muni was able to approach them and give them proper instructions, and then they became disinterested in the material world, and the rest of the story follows. So any questions or comments? Yeah. No, everything is within the Omkara. But the interesting thing is AUM. In the Omkara, you have Srimati Radharani, you have Krishna, and of course the living entity. But it is not mentioned by the acharyas that the manifestation of Srimati Radharani is in the vocative form, like it is in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Now, vocative means basically to cry out. Like when you're crying out, that's like in the English word vocal. You're very vocal, vocative. So you're crying out, oh, energy of the Lord, please engage me in Krishna's service. So that's one difference between the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and the Omkara. The Omkara is not like the, is not vocative, and the representation of Radharani, or the manifestation, rather, of Radharani is not in the vocative form in Omkara. Whereas in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, it's Hare, that, oh, energy of the Lord, please engage me in Krishna's service. And of course, actually, it was described, I was listening to a description of the whole Mahamantra, that all the words in the Mahamantra are in the vocative form. Like, Krishna, like, if it's in nominative form, it'd be Krishnas, like Krishnas to Bhagavan, Swayam. Krishna is Bhagavan Swayam. That's nominative, as a noun. And then vocative would be Krishna. O Krishna, O Rama, O Radharani. So I would say this is the main difference between the, and of course it's what's being prescribed for us by our transcendental doctor, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's the main difference, is the vocative, crying out. Yes.
I believe that this mantra, the Maha Mantra, is called Yugalam Mantra.
In terms of establishing the living entity in, because it establishes the living entity in the highest ras, the highest ras in Vrindavan. It's actually to transport the living entity to Vrindavan. So that's another difference. Whereas Omkar is I don't want to use the word generic, but it can refer to any of the realms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whereas the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is for transporting one to Goloka Vrindavan. Yes, thank you for that statement. Om.
Om seems to be like that, kind of general.
More general.